I know a lot of us have asked those questions for so many years. I think it's interesting, it's enjoyable as brethren to be able to share some of those experiences too, isn't it? So we all have our askings of whys. I think, I don't know if I'll know until the future as far as why it took our house 8 years to sell in Georgia. I know there's always a reason though, and the one thing I learned is we always just trust in God and believe Him to take us on, you know, the direction that we're on, and that we do trust Him. Sometimes we don't always know why though, but anyway, we have something so special to look forward to, don't we? In the future, I spoke about a couple sermons ago about what we have in the future. It says, though the Lord gave you the bread of adversity and the water of afflictions, your teachers will not be removed into a corner anymore, but your eyes will see your teachers. And I think we're coming up to a time right now as we try to evaluate this and what we're going through, even in this nation. There's never been a time before where, as it says in the book of Daniel, where knowledge has been increased. And we think about that. I constantly will think about that as we see so much knowledge physically from all the things that are being invented, constant improvements. You know, it's interesting in some of the advertising, you'll see, if you remember some of the commercials, even with like detergents, it will always say new and improved. You know, how far can you continue to go with that? But technology keeps increasing. Biblical knowledge increases too, doesn't it? You know, my wife brought up the other day, we were looking through the book of Revelation. And I had spoken before as concerning what's the role that Jesus Christ fills even within the kingdoms of men today. You can go back to the book of Daniel, and one of the big lessons that Nebuchadnezzar learned, it's mentioned more than one time. I think, as we know, when it's mentioned more than one time, there's some emphasis there that God wants us to know. That He's still in charge, isn't He? Do you remember what the scripture says? Nebuchadnezzar says, it is God who rules in the kingdom of men, and He gives it to whom He chooses. Even the basest of men. And so we're at a time now where a lot of us will look out, we see potential leaders, and maybe that scripture comes to light a little bit more, because even others have asked, who do we have, really, that's capable of leading a great nation? Who's capable of that? The fights are out there, the arguments, and we've got to cut through that all week. It gets very frustrating. Again, even with that, we, as Christians, we've got to be careful on how we judge and what we do, because that's being analyzed all the week, even in the news media, as far as the character attacks and everything of that nature. I've always mentioned to everyone, there's always issues that God's people are expected to judge as we compare the things that are done in society compared to what the Bible says. So we don't know who our next leader will be, but I have analyzed some other things that have been said by one of the potential candidates, as I've mentioned before, that said if we don't get our party to be able to rule or to claim the presidency, our nation as we know it is sunk, because another Supreme Court justice would get in that would supposedly be liberal. And as we've all judged that, and I've looked at that and analyzed that for what it says, I go, what difference does it make? Because we're done anyway. I mean, I think most of us would understand that because of the decision, you know, judging righteously that was made between what the Bible talks about as far as a marriage covenant. That's changed in this country. We can judge that. I'm not condemning anybody. God does that. But I'm sure judging the issue, that would even disrespectfully disagree with someone that claimed that marriage was between two men or two women. I don't have any respect for that. So, but that's what this nation has done. So it really, when you think about it, doesn't really matter, does it, on who takes the lead, because the whole morality tone would have to change within this country. That's what we're looking at. But on the other hand, do you remember what Jesus Christ said? As we go through a week, sometimes that can be very sad, unless you have newly born grandkids and great grandkids that can really be picker uppers. But we still have to fight this battle, don't we? But you still recognize Jesus Christ told his disciples in a time that was looking pretty bleak for them. In fact, it wasn't until a few years after Jesus Christ left the scene that you had changes being conducted within the Church of God, and there was times in history where you don't know what happened to it, that we don't have a lot of recorded history, but you do have the realization of looking in Scripture that says the gates of hell would never prevail against it. There was somebody out there that were keeping God's holy days somewhere at some time. That continues. But you also see that God never relinquished the control to anyone that says, I'm in charge of this whole thing. Yes, he allowed Satan to influence a lot of people, as we see from Revelation. It says he's deceived the entire world. I think Gary Johnson is very familiar with that, as he's the only one in prison to believe the way that he does, including all of the guards and inmates that would be there. Be interesting being the only one, wouldn't it? And sometimes within scattered throughout the world, as you've seen from some of the videos that we've had in the past, you may have a person somewhere in the world that is all by themselves. I know on one certain island, I think it was off the coast of South America, there was one woman that was waiting for a minister to come to visit her, because that's all that she had. There was no one else that believed the way that she did. So that condition exists within our world even today. Once again, Jesus Christ did say, didn't he, be of good cheer. You know, I've not relinquished control, he said. Things are going according to plan. God is not going, oops, I let that one go. It's going right according to how it should be. Our question is, are we still filling in with that plan? But here it says in Revelation, you know, I said before, I'll share you with this, because sometimes the thinking would be, well, you know, I certainly thought you would know this, or ministers should know everything. I talked to Gary about that too. I said, I want you to throw me questions all the time. And because there might be one that I may not know, or I may have forgotten the answer to that I've got to go back and study and research. We're in this constant plan of doing this. So by the time that you and I get to the kingdom, all that we've learned here that matters and makes sense, the rest of it doesn't. But all that we're learning here at services and doing the week during the week and studying our Bibles will have an application now in the future, because people are going to need to know how to live a way of life that they've practiced not living all of their life. It's going to be a major change, and some of us will remember that if you were not born into the church. We're having a whole different matter within the church that we're discussing now, because we've got second, third, fourth generation people within the church that were born into it, that see it a little bit differently, that don't have that memory of, wow, you were just hit with something that was such a different message back in the 50s and back in the 60s. But here it says in Revelation chapter 1, there was a greeting given to the seven churches, and John said to the seven churches, which he wrote with the message that he got. I think you would pretty much now get this quiz right if I ask you, because now in my new King James, somebody was wise enough to change that. Not necessarily so there either, but it used to be in the old King James that I have. I know it says the revelation from of St. John is called the divine. It's so interesting that we were able to even analyze something small at that, as that you realize that John's not yet divine. He's all dead and buried where he's supposed to be according to God's plan. But it was really the revelation. It says here now, it's updated. It says here the revelation of Jesus Christ. But it really, in a sense, was not really his revelation either, was it? Because it came from his Father, as everything did, through Jesus Christ, to the seven spirits, to the angels who passed it on to John. That's all the detail that we have. So it signified it by his angel to his servant John. So John says, to the seven churches who are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is, who was, who is to come, from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ. Okay, so that must mean here in verse 4 that must be referring to the Father, because it says, and from Jesus Christ. So grace to you and peace from him, speaking of God the Father, who is and who was and who come, from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth. Did that one catch you like it caught me? After reading through all Revelation, you know, it's you can read these verses for years, and if you're touching on a certain topic, that one just caught me like it never did before. Now, he's coming certainly as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, so some could say, well, that's referring to a future time. Not according to Daniel. He's never relinquished control on what takes place. Certainly he allows, when it says Satan is the ruler of this world, is he the ruler of you? Is he the ruler of me? No, he's not. And he cannot be ruler over anyone unless you yield to him or unless you fall to his deception. We understand that. We definitely understand that. But we have to understand that God the Father and Jesus Christ never relinquished control over their creation and over what they're doing. So you and I know we can go back to different testimonies, can't we? Because Satan can't do anything. Because you and I wouldn't be here now, would we? If Satan was allowed to do whatever he wanted to do, you and I would not be here now. He's allowed to tempt us, to test us, but it says if we withstand him, resist the devil, and what happens? It says he will flee from you. So we've got power that God has given to us. He doesn't have control over us unless we yield to him. This is what it says. He's always been this way. He's never relinquished control. So that's very encouraging as we continue to read through the scriptures and see the verification of that and what we will be doing, because there's so much knowledge that's being given now. Now, it used to be back in the 50s or 60s or 70s, as we received it, when you heard one radio message among the many that were out there, this one was different. This message was different. It was easily to identify. In fact, as my father-in-law found out, even going to the airport and talking to someone and bringing up Mr. Armstrong's name, he remembered that that guy. I remember that guy. Why do they remember that? I believe because it was such a distinct message. It was so different than anyone ever heard before. But now we've got a lot of radio stations, and we've got a lot of internet, and we've got a lot of different TV programs that are done by churches of God because of what had happened. We basically had the thrust of one message from one corporate organization, but now we've got a lot of corporate organizations with a lot of internet. If you type in the Ten Commandments on the internet, you'll come up with a lot of different corporate churches that basically, in many cases, believe the same way we do. So all of a sudden you see this influx. So, I mean, are we at the famine of the word at this point? You would think, well, it doesn't seem like we are, unless the messages that are going out there are being filtered with different messages within them. I mean, you can have someone that believes the Ten Commandments or that believes the Holy Days, but, well, they're keeping the Passover on the 15th. Or some other aspect of God's law that we've got to discern and go back to our Bibles and say, is that true? Now, does that disqualify them? Let me put a qualifier here, too, because Mr. Franks had mentioned in one of the ministerial updates that he had given that the churches are scattered. We don't claim to be the only Church of God. Church of God Worldwide Association does not stake that claim. We realize the scattering that has been there, so we're not going to be haughty or arrogant enough to make that claim. We've always understood that, too, that the people of God, the Church of God, are those not with a corporate organization stamped with them. And for years, we've pretty much known that, because if you were baptized back in the 50s or 60s, the same thing was mentioned to you. I baptized you not to any corporation. Now, it took us for a little while before we really kind of got that. Some still don't understand that to this day, by the way. They still feel that you've got to be with a certain corporate organization if you're going to make it into the kingdom. That's just not the truth at all. We don't teach that. But yet you still have to weed through a lot of different things because there's messages that are going out there going, well, that's not true. That's not according to God's word. So what happens when you see the famine of the word? Will that be different as well? Because one way, if you see that Satan works in so many different ways, that would be a way to really follow through with that, wouldn't there? There's all kinds of things going down. Let's just make sure that those messages are filtered with a lot of disinformation as well. So now you don't know what to believe from who. And not only you get that spiritual message that's the truth in that way, but you get the physical messages. Do you know who to believe now when somebody talks to you? Even a presidential candidate? He says this about this, and you're kind of going, well, he'll put forth that information, but maybe they don't give you the other information. So another candidate would go, well, he did this over here and then that. Then we're asking, well, is that true? That happened, and then that candidate will come back, well, yeah, but that was in the context of this or this or this. Or another candidate will say, well, that was before I did this and this and this. So here you and I are just kind of throwing our hands up going, who do you even believe anymore? No, the greatest thing about this, you and I, when we hear different messages, we hear different proclamations, when we read different articles or different magazines or different booklets, we're under the same pretty much command as we were given a long time ago that you'll hear me still state, don't believe it because I said it. You've got a responsibility, and you can check up on it by going back to the Bible, the inspired Word of God. So it's great to be able to do that, to be filtering through that, because you'll go, well, that's not what it says. And I remember having different, if you would call them arguments or discussions about that, and people saying, even to that point after the major heresies that we went through late 80s and 90s there, and people would say, well, you don't have to keep the law anymore. I'm going, really? I had some fun with that. Because I said, well, I can just shoot you right between the eyes right now. Because I love you, but I don't like what you're saying. I could actually reason with the Bible in this way because, now don't forget, others have done this. People have killed in the name of God before. So I could become so dysfunctional as to do that. Well, I don't like what you're saying. I do love you. And because I don't like what you're saying, I know that there's a resurrection, so you're also going to come up in a better resurrection and a better life too, so I'll just put you out of your misery right now. So I could have my own type of reasoning, couldn't I? And you might think, well, that's silly, and it is. And that's for you to decipher and to figure out what's silly and what's not, because the argument to me was silly that God's law would be done away with. It just never made sense. So now as we're actually going through the book of Hebrews and looking at all this and seeing actually what laws were done away that had to do with the Levitical priesthood and the changes that were made then. And then questions that come up that's so interesting that we don't know the answer to. Melchizedek, what was he doing on the earth at that time? I don't know. I can only throw out guesses at it. All I know is he was there. We understand that it was Jesus Christ because of what the Scripture says. There's no other man that didn't have the beginning of days. But I've also heard some kind of thesis out there that will kind of explain through that as well to try to get you to believe that it was some kind of physical being. So we can see that Jesus Christ was on the scene back then. Abraham had tithes and he paid them to Melchizedek. In the future, you and I, if that comes up, by the way, what were you doing on the earth at that time? And we'll get our answer then. And it'll tell me why the house in Georgia didn't sell for 8 years. I'll find out who shot Kennedy, where Hoffa was buried. All these questions that you'll have that will have all eternity to figure out. And, we'll be in such awe. It'll be actually such a fun time. I never knew that. I didn't realize that. And probably the biggest statement that God's people will be saying is, I never knew that. And you thought we'd be the ones that knew everything when it came into the kingdom, but we'll be the ones that go, I never thought it would happen that way. That will be another big one. I'm kind of anticipating that because of all the things that we've learned dealing with prophecy and God's mind, and we're learning to grow and think like God thinks. That's what he gives us, is the Scripture to be able to talk about. But the encouraging thing This is what I try to give to Gary Johnson as well. When you're by yourself, you're wondering what this is all about. I said, this is all about God's teaching and God's training ground right now. Can you believe that He's called this person or that person for the special time in the future when we're going to have jobs to do? That all makes everything that we go through worthwhile. What you're going through today is of such value. If it's not just a reminder, if it's just not a reminder of the things that we have in the future, to get that into our brain, that every day is a training ground for us for the future. Because everything else that we'll do, and I think about this a lot, we've got our home right now, and it's right off of 441. So as where it's a nice location, easy access to the freeway, we get a little bit of the 441 noise sometimes from the traffic. So I thought, well, let's plant some Leland cypress there. Then I smile and I shake my head and I go, I might not even see these things grow up to 10 feet tall. And that's okay. You know, once you accept that, and there are some others that are potential moving, and you go, how you get kind of tired of moving. You know, you also just get kind of tired of life, too, at times, don't you? But we've got something very special to look forward to. And I know for my family and I, because some would say, well, it was nice to live in an area. For me, it was for 20 years. There are some nice advantages to living in that area, to where you've got neighbors that you know, you actually get together with, you know the guy that runs the hardware store. You know who you can ask. You know what dentist to go through. You know what realtor to use. There are certain conveniences that you have that when you go into a new area, who should I go to? Who should I see? Who can I trust? What are my neighbors like? All those things. But there are good things about that, too, I know that my kids went through. Never really got a complaint from my kids. Oh, well, we moved all the time, and I had to make new friends. And, yeah. You had to make new friends. And guess what? They've got a lot of friends that they hook up with sometimes on Facebook. If they're not church friends, they still are in communication once in a while. But because they've moved to different areas, they've also got the value of meeting kids in the church in different areas as well and traveling to different places. And so you got those advantages that come up too that are wonderful. Because in the future, you know, when you go through these things and you see stuff. Now when I bring a box out of storage, sorry, I brought a couple boxes out of storage. Our things have been in storage for 8 years too. I don't even know what I have in there anymore. So really, every package I give is like a box of gifts now. I told my wife I brought a box. I'm going, look, I brought boxes. It's just like opening brand new gifts. You don't know what's inside. And there are tons of prizes in there. So you open it up and go, wow, I could use that. You know, there's one over there, and they've got, well, we can give this to the kids, a brand new candle. Where'd that come from? My wife goes, I gave that to your mom. I go, well, it's yours now. I go, you actually bought a gift for yourself. And all these things that come up, you know, that will once again eventually come to nothing. I was watching a little bit of a car restoration show. This guy was, if you want to call it, resurrecting this really old. If I remember right, this was the man that started Hardee's. I don't know if some of you recognize the history of that. I think it was in California. He started what was called Carl's, and then it was a bigger restaurant, I think, and he started up something smaller. It was called Carl's Jr. I think Carl's Jr.'s are still out there now. That became Hardee's. And so this man had a old 1960 Plymouth something. It was big. It was a very big car, big sedan. And that's how he started Carl's, is by that car, because he was able to get a loan off the equity in that car to start the business. So a guy came in and says, can you restore this? And they just said, it was a big headache because it was so old and a lot of rust and things of that nature. So they restored it. And I thought about that. I go, you know, they restored that. 20 to 30 years, it's going to be a rust bucket again. That's what God says. Anything that we do comes to nothing. And so I had a dad that refinished all of the tools and the handles from his tools. Made him really nice. So all of his tools were in order. But he's gone. It was all vanity. And when you see that happen in your life, it causes you to think about it. Now, I try to think about it, and I pretty much believe I do without getting depressed. Because you read through Ecclesiastes, you go, this is depressing. Solomon's kind of going, it's all vanity. Then you and I will go, what's the point? Well, I'm telling you the point. There is a point. That's the whole point of the book of Ecclesiastes, is to bring out the point. And if I were to ask you the quiz for today, what would the point be in Ecclesiastes chapter 12? What's the point? Life is fast. It goes by pretty quick. So in there, he throws in a few good lines in there. Rejoice with the wife of your youth. That one is to remember that there's live joyfully with the wife of your youth. But at the very end, what's the entire point? Do you remember that? Fear God and keep his commandments. You remember the rest of it? For this is the whole duty. That's what it's all about. And for you and I, it's got substance. It puts a smile on your face. It makes you realize when something goes bad or something gets old. You know, I just got my other new/used car, because the first one that I've got, I still remember that. I shared that story with you. Just got that car, and I'm driving it up in the East Bernstadt. Just pretty much new, only that one had 35,000 miles on it when I bought it. First thing that happened, as I see the stone coming toward me. Oh, no. Bam! Right on my hood, where it is to this day. As a reminder, Eric, it's all vanity. Use the car for what I intend to give. So I did, and I put 230,000 miles on, there were already 35,000 miles on, 200,000 on that car. So I just got the other car. That one has about 20,000 on it. And I'm driving down, and I see the stone. No! Bam! Hits the windshield. So thankfully, that didn't go. I remember. And recently, though, there was a stone that hit that side, and another one, a stone that hit this side. I said, I've got to get insurance on this windshield. But thankfully, it didn't put cracks in them. But you know what it helps you to realize? It's all just stuff, isn't it? It's just not going to last very long. So enjoy it while you can. There's nothing wrong with that. We buy new clothes or some new jewelry or something of that nature, and God says, enjoy it, but recognize, this is short-term, folks. And then you realize, this whole life is short-term. So what's the point? You and I get the point. And it's even of more value when you get scriptures that show the value in your and I life is all the good things that we're learning about these scriptures that we're being held back now, we're being suppressed. The truth is being really suppressed because most of this world does not understand it, will not understand it. You and I know that. But I do this with my hands. I go, roll up those sleeves, because when Christ returns, be prepared to go to work. And for those of you that hurt when you get up, no more of that. No more hurting. No more glasses. Anything you're going to be glad, the glasses, toss them out, no more glasses. No more of that. No more pains, no more hurting. They're called brand new spiritual bodies. And all the good things that we have to do in this lifetime, we still get to do. And I'll just try to get some visions of that in the future. About the grocery stores. There won't be no non-GMO signs. Because you won't have them. And we'll have to teach people about God's law and the land laws. And there are certain among us that have certain knowledge about certain herbs and other things that God intended that will still, those will come back. You won't have Monsanto. You won't have Eli Lilly. You won't have drug companies. How do I know? Read the Bible. Those hurt. They hurt people. It says they help, but even they say at the bottom, it may kill you. It'll help this, but it might kill you. It might make you throw up, vomit, all this could happen, but it'll help you. That's not God. That's not the way God does things. So you and I have got very simplistic minds, other people would say, go, yeah. Yeah, it's not complicated. When I signed my contract spiritually with God, there was no extra data there. It was just like, this is a way of life. Are you committed to living that way? Yes. Then I'll show you the covenant and the promises revealed in my Holy Scriptures. Nothing else. That's what it is. We've got a lot to look forward to. So we've got those insights. But as we have here, we also have what's called the hindsight. The ability to be able to look back and see a lot of different examples. Someone had asked here today, do I have a list of I don't have a list of the people in the church that have ever attended, but I have a list of the ministry. Because I remember back in the 80s, a man gave it was called a forum in Ambassador College at the time. At Tuesdays and Thursdays, on Tuesday you would have what was called a forum, on Thursday it was called an assembly, something of that nature. And it was a special hour that was devoted in the morning that you got a lecture from maybe a guest speaker. I remember a time that they had John Goddard, was an explorer that went all over the world, and he would have a video of his exploration to show where he went, to kind of broaden the horizons of the students. Or during the forum, you might have a lecture from a minister. I remember a specific one and was called Through the Eye of the Beholder. That one, if you could get that on internet, would be very interesting. You would thought that somebody had done something, but because of all the other things involved, it didn't work out that way. It had to do with righteous judgment. That was very interesting. So you go through all these different formats, and there's something that you're learning. But the person that told me that in the forum, that when he brought out the ministerial manual, and I cannot remember the percentage, but it was a lot. He said a certain percentage of these ministers aren't even with us anymore. So if you've got yours, and I found mine, you would go through that, and you would. Do you think it would be half? Now, some have died. Understand that. But do you think, I would do it a safe guess that half of those, at least, no longer stuck with the truth. Would that be believable? I think so. When you consider what's happened just in our time of recent, so many that have left. Well, it was the same way with the brethren. We've talked about that. Mr. Armstrong used to say, well, how many of you are even converted? He said, and that I get different percentages with people on that. He said, well, I wonder if half, and someone would say, he said more than that. Maybe he did, depending on where he was. But he questioned the fact, too. Then you look back where the Bible talks about there will be tares among you. That would always be in existence at the church. But it still is surprising in one sense that you could look back at a church to see at the time when Memphis started or some of these other churches started, and they were 170 strong to begin with. Or here we are in London, Kentucky. I've talked with some of you. How many in London's time and so grandeur in the church did you have? 300? About 365 people in the Church of God. Kaboom. You know, what happened? What happened? And there you recognize it's not over. God gives us the ability to see that, because when I look in hindsight to see that, what do you think? I think in my time, I think that could happen to me still. That could still, no one here is so-called secure. If you don't keep up your relationship with God and do the things that are written, you've got to hold on to that. That hindsight is the ability to see after the event which should have been done. The perception of the nature of an event after it has happened. Listen to that one. The perception of the nature of an event after it has happened. We had an event that took place. It was the blowing up of the major Church of God, where some here, if not maybe all, thought God will take care of it. You were right. He did take care of it. but not in the way that you thought he would. And that's what I said. In the future, that's pretty much a statement that is given to us that we'll probably, I never thought it would happen that way. We've got a vision that God shows us, but not all the detail in every case. We've got a lot that he gives to us, though. But we learned from that. In hindsight, we learned about the church. What does he give to us for this type of vision? That wonderful instrument with which are contained part of the law of God called the testimonies. And really, that was right there, that in a cord video that you saw was a testimony. It was a testimony of a church starting, about a population of the church, a population that dispersed, and also about someone who has endured, which is really encouraging. Found that to be very encouraging. Someone who sticks it out. So for those that have been around for a long time, do you know what a great value is? Is when other people see that you've stuck around for a long time. Despite that all that's taken place, people here have still endured for 30, for 40, for 50 plus years. You're still here in obedience to God, in obedience to the Sabbath day. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, the testimonies of the people of God. And Paul mentioned this to the Corinthians. There was once in a while a reminder needed because of people getting caught up in society and the things of what are going on at this time. And if there's ever been the case for that, it would be now. You and I find ourselves so busy that we don't know what happened to the week, what happened to the day, where did that day go, where did that go. We're already in preparation now for the Feast of Tabernacles. Thankfully, that's a great one. Here we are. Now, we're almost in registration for the Feast of Tabernacles, the one that we just came out of about a week ago. That's what it seemed like anyway. And we're already planning for the next one. Already coming up to our new camps and everything else. That's a great thing. But when you look at everything that we have to go through in this life, it just goes by so fast. So Paul says in verse 1, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all of our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea." Oh yeah, that's right, because that video that I'll be playing maybe right around the time of the Passover with Charlton Heston. I still smile about that, talk with that to Gary Johnson. But it'll be nice to see when Charlton Heston meets Moses. I want to be there for that one. Did you see that movie? Come on now, I want to take you into the nicest studio you've ever been. We're going to watch the Ten Commandments. Yul Brynner, and we'll be excited to go. I'd love it if that would happen. Who says it can't? That would be, I wouldn't even be watching the movie. I'd be staring at Moses the whole time. Moses will be watching, he'll go, I didn't do that. And Charlton Heston kind of going lower in his chair. God is a God of humor as well. And you can look at somebody that tried their best maybe to follow through. There's no condemnation on Cecil B. DeMille. Did frankly, a pretty good job. Pretty good job for what God's given him to know. So we see that all our fathers were under the cloud, passed through the sea. Where else could you find this statement in Scripture? Here's the other quiz for today. 1 Corinthians 10, I'll give you a hint. It's close. It's in the New Testament. I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren. Do you remember where else you could find that? I read it, give you another hint. I read it last week in a memorial service that I did for Mr. Phillips, who died. Mrs. Phillips just wanted a memorial service for her husband. We go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Do you remember? And the choir, anybody that sang in the choir could pretty much know this because it's a song that goes verbatim. "I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have died, that you sorrow not, even as others who have no hope." So you're looking in retrospect. meaning a review, a survey, or contemplation of things in the past. Verse 2, it says, all were baptized unto Moses. This is figuratively, they were not really baptized in that sense like we are today. A figurative type baptism because God gave them Moses to lead them. We don't have a Moses leader today. They ate the same spiritual meat, though. So God gave them the laws and anything. If you remember when Jesus Christ walked with the disciples, anything he spoke from came from the law. Unless he spoke from, the blessed are the meek. But that was back in the Old Testament, too. Moses was the meekest mentioned that ever lived. All drank the same spiritual drink, for all they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Verse 5 it says, now bring 5 up. See, 5 in hindsight, you can bring it up to today. That's what I like to do because of those lessons. Bring them up today because that brings the Bible alive. Many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Can you see that? Can you see that happened in our time? Why was God not pleased? I can tell you a lot of reasons why God was not pleased. And I've mentioned that as testimonies even in the world of athletics. I came into the church, I would watch basketball games, and I saw better Christian basketball games in the world than I saw in the church. God could not be pleased with that. Oh, but they're YOU. It's the youth. We're bringing them together. And yet they're cursing, they're swearing, they're taunting, everything that they would do in the world. I go, that's got to come to a stop. So you've got a program, you've got a plan, you've got all these booklets, you've got all these things. God's not impressed when the heart's not there. And it was overthrown. And we get reminders of that, don't we? All the time, I see reminders. I see a reminder when Del Mar gets put up for sale, the mansion that was in Pasadena. That's a reminder of what we once had. It was wonderful. It was beautiful. And as long as you had the heart after God, He would bless you. That changed. God was testing His church. Many, many were overthrown in the wilderness. These things were our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. You know, for that example, keep your finger in here. Let's go to Numbers chapter 11. Numbers 11 verse 4. And God used this as a test because, you know, they learned certain things that they had in Egypt. They probably grew some of their own gardens. At least were able to do certain things under certain conditions that they had. But it says in Numbers 11, verse 4, the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting, it says. And the children of Israel wept again and said, who will give us flesh to eat? Now, there's something wrong in verse 4. There's nothing wrong with crying, but it's for the reason that you're crying. Anyway, if you remember a scripture in Luke 9:62, that's where I bring this up today. Luke 9:62, a good memory scripture. No one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is what? Is fit for the kingdom. Now, we can look back, as Mr. Franks did, at a church starting up. There are good things. This was for the wrong reasons as they look back because times got a little bit tough, they wanted to go back to Egypt. And that meant you're forgetting about all the things that God did to bring you out. You're totally ignoring what God did for you. How do I know that? I bring it up to today. And it was back in the 90s where I had a deacon talking to me about all the wonderful things God did to bring him out of this world and into the truth. And the last that I knew, they were by the Christmas tree. Same thing. Same thing. And a guy I went to college with told my wife and I will not do that to my children. They will not be prohibited from playing basketball on Friday night. Same thing. they went back into it. Verse 5, it says, "We remember the fish which we ate in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic." And you would think, well, at least that was all pretty good. I could have said, "I remember the lobster tails and, you know, the pork chops and all that." It was still an attitude that was wrong here. But now our soul is dried away, and this is the statement that's incredible. There's nothing at all except for this manna. That's all that's there. You know, you would think that if God gave us manna, I think my wife and I would really appreciate this. You're so busy sometimes to prepare food. It takes a while. But to just go, "Hey, you know what we didn't have today? We'll go out and grab some manna. Tastes great." And it describes this. The manna was as coriander seed. The color was the color of bdellium. And if you look in the coriander, for those that know your spices, I did a little bit of a check on this. It's used, not just used as a spice in cooking, but it says, according to the information, which would make sense, it's got medicinal values and promotes natural healing. So God not only gave them something. You know, could you imagine? You go out there and there's fillets of fish or McDonald's or something like that, for packages of French fries. God gives them something that's not only tastes good, but it's got a good medicinal value to it as well. Verse 8, it says, "The people went about, gathered it, ground it in mills, or beat it in a mortar, baked it in pans, made cakes of it, and the taste of it was a taste of fresh oil." Now, what would you think? My mouth gets a little bit watered, you know, just thinking about it, because this you can guarantee. Whatever God makes would be the best thing in this world that you could ever taste. Could you give another example? And just talking about this, if God's going to make something, it's going to be the best that you've ever tasted. Who's got a companion verse that they can go to remember that? Give you a little example. How about a little bit of wine? Remember that? How come he saves the best wine for last? You know, the stuff that God made? So now the people did what we do today. Mankind is very good with this, no matter in all kinds of different food. I've teased about that when it comes to, say, Mexican food. A lot here like Mexican. Some may not like it, but I just noticed that whatever you eat in Mexican is basically pretty much the same. It's just beaten in different ways, isn't it? You're still going to get rice, you're going to get beans, you're going to get the meat. It's just you can have it in a burrito, you can have it in a taco, you can have it multitude of different ways. But it's basically the same thing. Well, and there's nothing wrong with that. That's good and it's fun and it's enjoyable. They did the same thing. They took it and they made it in different ways. Fine, that's great. So verse 9, it says, "When the dew fell upon the camp in the night, the manna fell upon it, and Moses heard the people weep throughout their families, and every man in the door of his tent." And it says, "The anger of the Lord was kindled." Now, if you just looked at it at that face value, you would say, what was wrong with that? Is there anything wrong with nothing wrong with crying? It was their attitude of wanting to go back to where they had came from and not trusting in God and saying, you know what, bring it up to today. What does the Bible say to do in all things that we have, because we are such a spoiled nation? It makes you think about it sometimes if you're going to the feast. Would anybody like to go to, how many volunteered to go to Malawi or Zimbabwe this year? Nobody. Interesting. Yeah, and you may get, who knows, you may get malaria. You're probably not going to get a steak like you get over here. But on the other hand, you're going to get some pretty special fellowship. But you have to look at it in a different way. I say, if you want to go to a site and get good things, now I've not done this, but I kind of thought that this is the way it would be. I thought I was yearning for the past couple of years. Oh, I wish I could get to Sheboygan. you're up in the North Country, right off Lake Michigan. You're going to probably get a good steak. Your housing is going to be really nice. And that's what I heard. It was exactly like that. So you go to another place, you may not totally get that. You know, when I talked to somebody, because we applied for France this year. So, and I remember when we went to Belgium last time, I totally forgot about this. But when you go to these places, and it was this way in Fiji as well, you go to an exotic type place, but when you go into their rooms, what? You're not going to a Marriott or a Hyatt. It's like a Motel 6. Now, it'd be very clean, and that's the way it was in Belgium. It was clean, it was nice, but it's not your comforts and luxuries like you're used to having over here. So when I looked at France, we already applied for France. I went to the site, I looked at France, I go, I forgot about that. These are just your plain rooms. But they're clean and they're nice. Thankfully, God sent me two people that said, oh, if you're going to France, that's a wonderful sight. Why? The people fellowship together. Everybody's right there on site. You eat together. I'm going, that's me. And that's what I remembered about Belgium. Everybody ate together. The meals were right there. And what a wonderful time that it was. And I still remember the French sparring with the Italians on who made the best wine. And just sitting back there watching them go at it. And they were laughing. And what a grand time it was to seeing different peoples from different countries come to one site. It's always a recommendation if you're able to go to a site like that and just be together right on the site. I think Sheboygan was like that. You know, you get those sites that are like that are so wonderful. But sometimes we get used to such the creature comforts. Is that somebody will bring, I'd like to order a steak, please. And it comes and you kind of go, I thought I said a steak. You know, not chopped liver here. Well, this was the attitude of the people, so we can bring it up to today's age, can't we? We're tested all the time. Why in the world would they get this feast site here? Who in the world ordered this convention center? Don't they know how hard it is to do this and how hard it is to do that and how hard it is to do this? Probably. Maybe it's the only place at the time that we can find it. I don't think that the attitude was, I'm going to find a place that's really hard for women to go to the restrooms. We're just going to test them this year. But that's sometimes what will come out, won't it? And you'll talk to somebody else and you'll say, I don't know who did this. You know what that just did? That you put you in the place of that. If I was in that place, I'd be finding us the convention site where restrooms for the women would be da 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 da. And then you would find that place and realize, well, you either couldn't rent it or something, and there was a flaw over here, or something else would happen. And you don't realize it until after you think about it and get a reminder that our attitudes can fall the same way. You know, what we can do, like Mr. Franks just requested prayers, that we would, should we rent, should we lease, not just the wares and all that, but asking for prayers. Asking for prayers for our feast sites. Please show these guys, open up the doors for them, that we would have some places that we could meet at as a congregation. And then when you get there, don't be going, who in the world ordered this place? Don't they know that there's not enough lighting here? I've gone through the gamut in my lifetime. Somebody go, I can't, the sound is way too loud. Way too loud. I go, can I ask where you're sitting? The speaker was right there, and that's where they were. You know, you would hope that you would go, you know, I think I can move away and maybe leave that for somebody that can't hear that well. I'll leave that for sitting. We got to keep coming up with signs. It does come up to our time, doesn't it? So the displeasure was there. Verse 7, it says, neither be idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink, and they rose up to play. How can we be idolaters today? Things become more important than God. Maybe such as March Madness. as they call it. I mean, it's just, the world is filled with one thing after the other. I've not done this, but I bet if you put a list together, you could find out every month of the year is occupied by some important, so-called important sports event. Here we are in March, and they've got March Madness. Now, in April, I believe, is probably the Stanley Cup Finals or something, that with the hockey games, the basketball games. NASCAR has started back up again. So if you don't have one thing, you've got the other. Some things that I'm probably forgetting. I look out and I see some golfers out here. Something's happening there with golf. Something in May, you get the Indianapolis 500, as well as now other races. You get the Kentucky Derby. Something happening. Four distractions. Those are the things that are very important to people. Why people are getting killed over there. People are making millions of dollars. Putting a bat, and that's hugely important. And we just go, that's the society that we're in today. Verse 8, it says, neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed and fell in one day, 23,000. You've never had a time to do more of that with the advent of the internet and problems that people are having with pornography. That Greek word fornication comes from the word, the Greek word porneu. It's one of the most grievous sins confronting our society today. Neither let us tempt Christ, verse 9, as some of them were also tempted, were destroyed of serpents. And that's what they mention. In fact, you hold your finger there, now I'm going to have your finger held in two places. Numbers 21, verse 4 brings that out. And just to show that what their attitudes became like. And it's always good, by the way, to put what we can do to put our attitudes in check. The Bible says you can replace that by always being thankful for everything that you had. Everything. There's always something for which to be thankful. Thank you. It's a bit chillier today, I noticed. And I could easily go, you know, it's 75 degrees here, then it's down to 50. Can the weather not make up its mind out there? And you can find yourselves in a complaining attitude and go, wow, the sun's out, it's a beautiful day. You know, you need water to water the gardens and everything else. And sometimes I know I would look out there and go, but not this much. But there's always something for which to be thankful. So they journeyed, Numbers 21, verse 4, from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the souls of the people were discouraged because of the way. Bring it up to modern day times. We can be discouraged because of the way. We never thought it would be this difficult. It would have been so much easier to remain in the big organization with our nice auditorium and our nice places in Big Sandy and Pasadena for God to just to work it out that way and not go through all the trials that we've gone through. That would have been so much easier, you would think. And the people spoke against God and against Moses. Wherefore have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loathes this light bread. We're tired of those same old sermons all the time. We want some meat. Spiritually, you could look at, couldn't we? So the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and many died. Back to verse 10 of Numbers 11. Back to Corinthians. Neither murmur you as some of them also murmur were destroyed of the destroyer. So the complaining and murmuring will always be there. But there are always people that didn't do that. One of them is you look back when God sent them to spy out the land, what was there is there were those such as Joshua and Caleb. Some of you may have those. I've got mine. That's going to be one of my prizes that comes out one of these boxes. I've got a Joshua and Caleb buried in there because I gave one to my mom from Jerusalem. So I'm going to go, there it is, Joshua and Caleb carrying the grapes. Do you remember that? Some of us have that as a memory. Those were some of the few that were very thankful. They saw a different picture than the rest of them did. And so do we, don't we? We see a different picture. So I don't see when I went and visited Mr. Johnson in prison, he's not complaining about anything. No complaints whatsoever. Because we're looking to a vision in the future of something so much better ahead of us that we hang on to. And verse 11 says, all these things happened to them for our examples and are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world have come. So wherefore, for him that thinks he stands, take heed, lest he fall. And thankfully, it's so grateful we're coming up at such a special time of the year for that memory once again, that when we sit down to wash feet, it's not just physical. It's not just we're doing it because we do something physical. We're doing it because of the entire attitude. See, do you see what happens year after year? We hear some of the same sermons that we're going to go through leavening. We're going to go through all these processes, but I hope that every year it's sunk in, that spiritual message is sunk in, and all of us are going to be reflecting on, do I have this foot-washing attitude? Is that where I stand right now? God, please give me more of your Spirit that I can really grab onto this message that I've been going through for such a long time. That I remember in retrospect, looking back, I cannot remember whose feet I washed for the first time. But sometimes I do remember this, at least twice now. I remember one person, it shouldn't be this way, by the way, but I saw it happening in God's mercy and maybe sense of humor, that maybe two that might have been a little bit at odds with each other, they washed each other's feet. They didn't get in line to do that, but God said, maybe I'm going to line these people up here. Twice I saw that happen. So God has got a work in progress. He's doing something very wonderful, and he's looking at our attitudes throughout this. Verse 13 says, there's no temptation taking you or come upon you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tested above that which you are able, but will, with the temptation, make a way to escape it, that you can handle it. You wonder why this would be thrown in there. Well, because it didn't say the Israelites had it that easy. I mean, they weren't let out of Egypt on a taxi or a limousine. But God gave them everything that they needed, but was also testing their attitudes. And I can see that God has also given everything that we need, too. It doesn't mean that we don't hurt. It doesn't mean that we don't suffer, either, on occasions. And those times, by the way, that we're on top, oh, they feel so nice. They feel so wonderful. And we can even smile at it sometimes. When it took me that long to get in to see Mr. Johnson, I'm going, he's just going to rake me over the coals for not coming to see him. He's just smiles, and then I get to that guard at the front that goes, I don't want to even talk about it. I'm kind of going, now I know why it was so hard to get in here. But God knew that too for some reason. And so you bless the highs that you can be on at the time. So many wonderful things that God is able to show us and be able to see. So we can see the difference, being able to look back at the time of the Israelites, and back even at our times now, where we've got different testimonies of people that have been in the church for a long time, and you yourselves being testimonies. Share those with other people. I love to hear it when I will share with you. When I first heard the word come out on CHYR Leamington, Ontario, I'll still never forget that and still remember the commercial that was before that. We've got those wonderful times to remember. Hang on to what God has given to us. Realize that a part of that vision, including that insight that we've given, includes the hindsight. God, you have brought me such a long way. I've got a ways to go still, but you've brought me such a long way. You've been so merciful to me. Thank you for all the wonderful blessings and lessons that we have and that we've learned and continue to do so, because we're building toward a future, but in doing so, we're leaving, hopefully, a good past behind us. Let's remember these things as we approach the Passover and remember the wonderful things and wonderful testimonies that God has given to us.